Our brother says the kingdom costs you everything, and he's totally right when he says that, and then they sing that song. Yeah. Let me just put a little definition on what that means, that the kingdom costs you everything, because it costs you everything to become what he paid for. But what it costs you is everything you were never created to be in the first place. Come on. Yes. And it just shouldn't be hard to give that up. What's so hard about giving up a lie to obtain the truth? You were never created for yourself. You were never created for your own image and your own glory. You were created for his image, for his glory. What an honor to have the living God live on the inside of you and bear witness of who he is through your life, through your attitudes, through your perspectives, through your motives. It's not that hard. When preachers and pastors say, this gospel will cost you everything, it's not a hard thing. We ought to put clarity. All it'll cost me is what I never was anyway. Yeah. I'm just giving back what Adam made me to be so I can step back into what he always intended. It's a lonely place to live for yourself. It says, unless a seed dies and falls to the ground, it abides alone. At the end of your journey, you have nothing to show for your life but self-centered pursuit to make it through a day in the way you prefer. But you have multiplied nothing. You'll find you have lived at the expense of other people to make sure your preferences were fulfilled, sometimes without even realizing it. You're not on this earth to survive. You're on this earth to shine. And if you miss shining, you miss what he came for. He did not come to bless you. He put his life inside of you, and I would call that blessed. When he gets you free from you, he gets you free from the biggest lie of your life. You living for you when you were made for his image. When you get free from you, you're done with issues, anger, frustration. He said, she said, just mad at people, just ticked off at things that people failed to do and say, just feeling like somebody left you out or don't spend enough time with you or didn't call you when you thought they should. Come on, we have sold so cheap and yet we're bought at such a price. Yeah. Come on, man. All I'm preaching is the gospel. It's good news. You can get free from you. You can get free from the biggest enemy of your life, and you thought it was the devil. He only works with what you give him. He only works with what you give him. Jesus said, the ruler of this world cometh and has nothing in me. We always think it's because he was God that he says that stuff. He said it because he was selfless and he was modeling a life he called us to follow. He was selfless. The enemy can't work with selfless. If you become merciful, how's he stop your heart? The thing that Satan can't defeat about God is mercy, the mercy of the Lord. You deserve judgment. I deserve judgment. I'm filled with the Spirit of God. How does that work? Because his mercy triumphed over judgment. Now wonder if I don't just receive that, but I become that. Wonder if you become that. Wonder if we become a merciful people. I think I read it somewhere in my Bible. Be merciful, for I am merciful. We didn't just obtain mercy to obtain it, but to be so touched and affected by it that it becomes our heart expression. He didn't just forgive you so you can enjoy being forgiven. It's so you understand the beauty of forgiving and see that thing, and you become the very expression of what sets you free. The Bible says if you're not willing to become what he gave in Matthew 18 and did, you're an evil and wicked servant. And you'll find yourself bound and living in a dark place. Your soul will be in prison. You shut people in the prison of your heart because of what they owe you, and he delivered you and forgave you of everything you owed. That's not cool. Yeah. You don't get saved for your own gain. You get saved for his great name and for his glory. Are you all good? Man, I'm just nutshelling what we've been doing all weekend. Who's the first time here tonight? This is your first service here tonight. Okay, I felt like there was a bunch of you. Good. Thanks for coming. Listen, this is where we've been all weekend. Man, the whole reason Jesus come is to take the lie off of us and put the truth in us, to get that old identity and that old thing off of us so we can walk and live in the new. Adam was made to be something on the earth. There's an intention when God makes man. He's not just so full of life and one day he's kind of bored with heaven and angels and he's just fiddling in the earth and he sneezes into the dirt and a man pops up. Cool. That's not how it happened. He made man with intention. He said, let us make man in our image. It's not happenstance, and he didn't just make man. He wasn't just experimenting. He had a plan that gives us a purpose. There's a reason we're on the earth. It's for the image of God. And if we're not pursuing to walk in and live by the Spirit to make known who he is through our lives, we're missing why we're here. That's why life's a grind for people. And they use the gospel to try to get through life instead of become more like him. So they have an expression in the midst of adversity. You can't let your trials and the things that you're going through decide who you are and how you're doing. What he went through is the truth about you. You have to start there if you're going to run well. And if you start where he finished, that's a good thing. Yeah. You do not get saved just for blessings and benefit and favor and vats and barns full and protection and provision. Those things are all part of the nature of God. That all flows through covenant. You seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things fall in place. Yeah, it's really exciting. Or you can get caught up with life and issues and have attitudes and be non-productive. That's your choice. Or you can be a believer. And not just somebody that goes to church. You can be her. Yeah. I'm about ready to come on, buddy. I'm getting a little bit stirred right about now. Come on, man. This is why he came. He didn't just come so you feel good today. He didn't just come so things go the way you prefer. He came so that in the midst of how life is unfolding, you can look like him, think like him, walk like him, talk like him, and men see the light in your life and give him glory. And they understand that there's a God because they see him, not just hear about him. I'm telling you, your attitude matters so much. Your perspective, your motive, your reason for being is vital to your Christian expression, to Christ in you. Please don't let your heart be deceived in this hour. Please don't let trivial things that won't mean nothing in the end dictate your life today. Don't let what a person said or didn't say matter so much that you're affected by it, unless their name is Jesus. I've pastored long enough to know that we've let too many things matter more than what matters most. Don't let that be you, friend. Your life is worth way too much to sell cheap. You're not even for sale if you read your Bible. You've been bought with a price, and you're not your own. So it cost you everything, but all it cost you is what you never were anyway. What a bargain. Give back the lie to obtain the truth. Come on, this thing is so real. Adam was made to be something. Let us make man in our image. So in the likeness of God, he made him. Verse 27, watch what it says, ladies. You'll love this. Both male, you guys are so amazing. They got it up there, don't they? Okay, you ain't got it from John. It's Genesis 1:27, but it's both male and female. He made both male and female after his image and likeness. So guess what the created value of a man and a woman is? It's not the woman's not here to serve the man like everybody says. They say, well, yeah, but he needed a helper and he's not complete. He's not complete because he has no expression for love. He can't let love express. Love can't flow anywhere. If man's just here alone in the image of God, he's power packed for nothing. He didn't make woman because man's lonely and incomplete. He made woman because there's no expression for what he made man to be. It's called love. So woman came out of the fullness of God in man. He didn't make another lump of clay. He reached into what was one and made it two so two could be one and be multiplying and covering the earth with his glory. Has nothing to do with sexual impulse, sex drive, orgasms. Has nothing to do with that garbage that came through the fall of man. Has to do with covenant and love and two being one. And man leaving his father and mother and cleaving to his wife and the two becoming one. For this is a great mystery, but it was from the beginning. Yeah. So God created man in his own image, in the image of God. He created him male and female. He created them. Guess what the highest value of the woman is? His image. Guess what the highest value of the man is? His image. When two surrender, individual wills, souls, emotions, genders, they come together and join in a covenant for one cause, the glory of his name. And when you're real about that, you'll resolve conflicts. You might not agree on everything, but why do you have to war if you're seeking first the kingdom? When you understand the synergism of your relationship and that two make one and express the glory of God, it ain't worth living any other way. And it cost his blood to restore this truth. It must be important. When you get this, you'll stop animosity in your home. You'll realize it takes two to tango and you won't be in that equation. You'll pursue peace and make peace, because blessed are the peacemakers, because they are the sons of God. Not the ones that speak the language, the ones that live the life. You good? So women, that's awesome. The reason you're on the planet is not to serve the man. It's to be found in his image. And when you're found in his image, you will serve people with your life. Men, when you're found in his image, you won't need women to scratch your itch and serve your pleasure. You will value them and honor them and love them. And you'll find one that you can step into covenant with, and two can become one to fulfill one great will and plan called his. It's called marriage. Yeah. It's a little different than, hey, he's cute. Wow, she's hot. Ooh, look at her looking at me. Wow, she likes me. Oh! Now you got two kids and 4 years later, you ain't talking and can't stand each other. It wasn't love. It was need. You're mystified. There's more pain in relationships than blessing, I'm convinced, and that's a sad scenario. I love you has caused more pain than it ever has good, because people say it to manipulate and get what they want. I love you means you take no count of a suffered wrong. Then why are you so broken up by what they did? Why is it still in your language? Why is it your story? Why is it your memory? Why is it the first thing you tell your new friend? What you've been through and what they did, if love covers a multitude of sin. Why is it still in your mouth? Because if it's in your mouth, it's in your heart. Because out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth is talking. I read the Bible. I understand this stuff. Man, I feel the Holy Ghost, I'm telling you. I feel the authority of heaven. He is serious. He shed his blood for this thing. And he's saying, why don't you give back the lie so you can walk in its glory? You don't incorporate him into your life. He becomes your life. It's not Jesus incorporated, it's Christ in you. Okay, I've said enough about all that. That's the gospel. I just nutshelled the weekend. That's where we're at. Bam, we're all together now. Now I'm going to preach. Yeah? Because there's two things we've got to do tonight, and it's going to be a blast, and it's going to be awesome. We're going to see people healed of things that they've regretted, things that snuck into their life through sin and form of conduct. Be prepared tonight to listen to a message, open your heart and walk in repentance and receive God's love, because he wants to clean slates in people's lives. He wants to take the past things out of you because you're new creations. If you're a person that was into cutting, you go ahead and you just listen tonight. And let's just let those scars come off of your body, because he's a redeemer. Yeah? You got an STD tonight. You just listen and let's let God take that out of you. Because if old things pass away and all things become new, then it shouldn't be there. It should be resting in a dead man, not a live person that's new. If God won't judge you for where you've been, why is where you've been judging you? Things are going to change in people's bodies tonight. And honestly, I'm not being arrogant. There's nothing nobody can do about it, because I'm going to preach the truth and the truth will back it up. And he has a name. Jesus. Yeah. Oh, I'm feeling this thing. And then we're going to teach on the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and the Lord wants me to. And we're going to show you scripturally how scriptural it is, how it's a separate experience, and how he will come and empower you and immerse you and dip you into who he is and make you one with him. And he's going to come tonight. And anybody that's never been baptized in the Holy Spirit, we will welcome you. And he will meet you here and come and meet you with the Holy Spirit in fire. And he will empower you to be a witness. I will cover it so thoroughly with scripture, you won't have concerns, questions. And if you were taught other things, you'll see in the word that you weren't taught correct, because it is undeniably scriptural. And I will cover every base you can imagine, and there won't even be a question when I'm finished. And I'm not being arrogant. I'm not being arrogant. Are you with me? I got saved at 7 o'clock on a Sunday night. I woke up on a Monday morning in the presence of God, praying in tongues at a wild pace and level, and nobody laid hands on me, and I thought, whoa. So you're a little too late for me, unless you say that was a devil, and I've been living with an evil spirit for 23 years, seeing lives transformed. Yeah. See, I don't feel like nobody can mess with me right now. There's something on me right now. It feels good. Too late to mess with me tonight. I'm going to have fun. You're okay if I have fun, ain't you? Shoot. Go to Romans 5 with me, would you please? We're going to do this quickly. We're going to pray for people. It's going to be fun. My Lord Jesus, you're good. See, I'm done debating with people. Most of the people that debate have no Christian experience in God. The people that don't believe in healing, they've never pursued it because they don't believe in it, so nothing is their testimony. So that's a dangerous place, because if somebody does have a testimony, then they say it's either a lie or the devil. And that's a terrible position to take. That everybody that has a healing of testimony is either exaggerating, lying, or of the devil. That's a scary position. So the lady that wept and cried today in the afternoon at the luncheon, whose condition changed, I guess she's exaggerating. I guess she's emotional. You be careful with human wisdom. You be careful with unbelief. So many people boast in unbelief and don't even realize what they're doing. Christians, well, I need documentation. Boy, I bet that is not cool before the Lord. Because there's no documentation good enough for unbelief. And faith doesn't need any. Because it already sees. Because faith sees. Unbelief never ends. It's evil before the Lord. It says it's an evil, wicked heart. Because it says, well, how do I know that's their x-ray? Well, how do I know that was their picture? How do I know that was their bone? Well, you might have somebody else's picture of their CAT scan. The second one might not be their lungs. Unbelief is never satisfied. And honestly, there's a lot of it in the body of Christ. Scary. Very scary. Don't boast in your unbelief. Pursue faith. You've been through a hard time. You prayed for a loved one like I prayed for my mom and watched her die of sickness. Don't you change the gospel to meet your story. You stay with the gospel till your story changes. Don't you keep jumping ship and try to preach something that fits your life to make you always okay. Sometimes you just say, man, if I knew you more, if I walked with you closer, if I understood and saw some things different, I think I could see some more fruit. I just know this, if you'd have touched her, things are good. You're in me and I represent you. Let's keep growing. Work in me, God. But I ain't changing my mind. I found truth through you. I found the Father through you. I'm not finding truth through a passing mother, and I have no need to create an analogy to explain it. I'm going to go after you and grow up into you in all things, and I believe that's a place of humility and honor. Yeah? Yes. You don't find God. You don't find God through your life. Everybody's defining God as life unfolds. You already found God through his Son if you're looking in the right place. When you see him, you've already seen the Father. He came as the expressed image of him, the outraying of his brightness, the expressed image of his person. And when you see him, you see the Father. So the life of Jesus is the Father revealed. He said, I only do what he does, say what he says. I don't do anything on my own. I do what the Father's telling me. So when you see Jesus' life, you see the Father in action through a man. So simple. So don't say, well, yeah, but brother, sometimes God, where did you see that in Jesus' life? Sometimes we get so troubled in our heart, we make up analogies to comfort ourselves in our trouble, but that's at the cost of truth. And now that's a problem, because truth's what makes us free. And now we're disarmed, unarmed, or our short sword is stuck in our sheath because of what we believe. And now we're afraid to get it out again, because the last time we got it out, now we came up with an analogy. Now we don't even have a sword. Sometimes we don't even have armor. Sometimes we're not even believing anymore because of our analogies. Sometimes we're just saying, oh, well, if God wants to, he will, praise the Lord. But it's not scriptural. Man, we're called to seize the land, man. We're called to go after things. There's things we get in agreement with. God works with himself in people. His eyes are searching to and fro for somebody whose heart is totally after him and totally given to him. He's searching to and fro, looking for that person. Well, if he's God, why didn't he just do it? Because he gave man dominion on the earth. He works through man. He's amazing. He wants relationship. He is not a puppet master. He's a Father. And I love him for it. He doesn't have a remote with my name on it. He doesn't. You see why I'm not a flagger? I'm really messing up, ain't I? Somebody that prays, pray for me. We got to get through this. Oh my goodness, the gospel. The Bible says in Romans 5 that we were justified by faith. We have peace with God through Jesus our Lord. And so therefore, if you back up toward the end of Romans 4, it's amazing what he's saying. He's saying that he's talking about, it's amazing in Romans 4 how he talks about Abraham. It's just amazing. Now I'm back in, I'm trying to hurry. I'm in so much trouble. You know how he talks about Abraham? And let me just jump in here. I'm just looking at it here. He says, okay. He's talking about the promise. For the promise, verse 13 of Romans 4. I'm back way back in Romans 4 in the middle. For the promise that he would be heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed, through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. So he was calling Abraham to believe what he promised, right? Okay, now watch. For if those who are of the law are heirs of faith, or heirs, faith is made void. If those of the law are heirs of faith, or heirs of the promise, then faith is made void, and the promise made of no effect, because the law brings about wrath. For where there's no law, there's no transgression. You guys get this? Watch. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be accounted according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also those who are of faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. He says, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him who he believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things that do not exist as though they are, who contrary to hope, he's talking about Abraham, in hope believed so that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken. And not being, look at verse 19. Now this is fascinating. And Abraham not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb, interesting, probably in her 90s, he did not waver at the promise through unbelief, but was strengthened by faith or in faith, giving glory to God. I'm puzzled with that, because when I read Genesis, he wavered. He looked at his body. They looked at a time frame. Sarah got talking and said, hey, maybe God wants you to go into Hagar, and that's the way he's going to make this happen, because ain't nothing happening. We ain't cutting it, Abe. And I'm sure Abraham's looking over there at Sarah in that Old Testament Bible day, or at Hagar, and he's saying, really? You want me to go into Hagar? I think you ought to. Well, let me go pray about it. He's saying, girl, bring her on. Let's do it. If it works, great. So when I read my Bible in Genesis, Abraham wavered. He compromised. He made Ishmael. He did consider his flesh, but when I read in Romans after the blood, when I read in Hebrews, he's a patriarch and the father of faith. It says Sarah received strength to conceive in her womb. In Genesis, she laughed and lied in 30 seconds to God. In Romans, Abraham is a patriarch of faith. In Hebrews, they're both listed. Why? Because something changed in their heart called repentance. And they said, duh, we failed to believe the truth. We stepped out of the covenant promise. Let's get our eyes back on him. And through the blood, when the writer's writing, he judges Abraham and Sarah as if they never flinched and as if they never sinned. Because through the blood, I'll separate it from the east and the west and remember it no more. I'm looking at a whole lot of patriarchs of faith. You don't have to have some old covenant, Old Testament writing when you stepped right into the new. Why would you remember what he hasn't? He can't even write Genesis in Romans. He has to write through the blood. They're sitting having dinner with Abraham. He says, surely your wife will conceive. Abraham's wife is listening through the tent, and she giggles sarcastically. Yeah. After all this time, me and Abe's tried to swing it how many times? It ain't working. Abe ain't working too good, and I ain't working at all. We just too old. And God says, no, you're going to have a child. And she goes, ha, 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 ha. He says, why did she laugh? And she said, I didn't laugh. She laughed and lied in 30 seconds in the presence of the Lord. You think she'd turn into dust? He's so amazing. And now he's writing about her generations later. Sarah, by faith, received strength to conceive. I'm trying to preach Romans 5, and that thing hit me. I had to share it with you and use the time it took. Why? So you need to see there ain't no old story about you. There's just a new. That's why we're going to pray what we're going to pray tonight. You said, we don't understand, brother. I made mistakes. I shouldn't have been using, but I was, and I knew better because I grew up in youth group. Well, I know you say you should have knew better, but you got deceived, and you didn't take earnest heed, and you did whatever you did, and that thing bit you for keeps, and your heart changed, and you said, duh, and you ran back to God. So let me ask you, are you still a young, immature kid? Are you still somebody running with rebellion? Are you still somebody using or sleeping around? Are you somebody that got a grip and ran back to truth, and truth is holding on to you, and his name is Jesus? You say, yeah, but brother, I earned it. I made my bed. I got to sleep in it. No, he made your bed. Get out of the one you made. Because when you repent, you get a brand new bed, and the sheets are amazingly clean. And you get in there and sleep with him. Come on. Well, I'm reaping what I sowed. You are until you repent. I've watched too much. I'm passionate. I'm a madman. I watched too many incurable STDs just come out of people.
Yep.
I've watched too much hepatitis. I get emails of HIV. I get test results, negative, 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 no more. They take them off the list. I got people in my hometown. I got a lady who needed a liver transplant. because of hepatitis and heroin and prostitution. But she ain't a prostitute no more. And if mercy triumphed over judgment and God ain't judging her, how does hepatitis have the right? If she's a new creation and God doesn't see her as if she's ever slept around and prostituted, he sees her as his daughter, hepatitis loses its hold and it has to flee when we understand. So she never got a liver transplant. She came to a service and heard this message. Yeah. She got in her car heading to an appointment because her numbers are so off the charts that they said, if we don't find a match soon, you ain't got long. Wow. So she was so tired of these appointments because everyone she went to, they just told her how worse it was and how much closer she was to dying. And she got in her car after the service. She never got up for prayer. Don't you do that tonight. You let us pray. She never got up for prayer because she had to go to the appointment, and she got out in her car and got an appointment, and this frustration came over her, but it was holy and it was righteous. And guess what she said in her car? She said, "This is crazy. I can't have hepatitis. I'm not a prostitute. I'm not a heroin addict. Those things are no longer in my heart. God gave me a new heart. He forgave me of sin. Why would I be paying a price for where I've been now that he's done what he's done in me? Hepatitis shouldn't be allowed in me. I'm tired of these appointments and doctors and people saying I'm going to die when he says I'm going to live. I can have hepatitis." And she said she threw a fit in the car. And then she calmed herself down and started her car and drove to her appointment. And she went in there and got her blood tested so they could tell her how much closer she was to death. And all of a sudden, they're freaking out. I am not against the medical field, but I love when their minds explode. I told you that heard it. I told you the testimony that came on my phone yesterday by the leader where I was last week. He sent me the text of the man. He said, "Brother, I just got back from the doctor. They took an x-ray of the golf ball sized lump that was in my chest, and the x-ray showed there is nothing there." Yeah. I like it. They came and they said, "We don't even know what to tell you. Your liver enzymes, or whatever they called it, and they're your numbers, are all in the total normal zone. There's no swelling, dysfunction, and we can't even find hepatitis in your blood." She didn't have her kids because of her lifestyle. She's out of state. Unprecedented. First time in her state's history that the social services released her children to a mother out of state because God moved the heart of the king. Heart of the king in the hand of the Lord, like a mighty river who'll turn it where he wish. The laws say one thing, unprecedented. God says, I heard a judge once say, "It's against my better judgment." Not a good way to get reelected. But he didn't even know what he was saying because he didn't know why he was saying what he was saying. So he told a 19-year-old that had two life sentences, "It's against my better judgment, but I'm going to turn you over to this ministry and give you a chance." That's the heart of the king being turned by the Lord. You with me? Romans 5. So he talks about all this faith, and then he says, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, in whom we also have access by faith into this grace in which we now stand." Come on, that's a whoop, whoop, right? And rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. The writer's excited. Look, and he says, watch. He says, "And not only that, but we glory in the midst of tribulation." People go, calls for Christians to avoid tribulation. You're in La La Land, man. That is not what Christianity is for. Was that mean? I said you're in La La Land. I've never said that in my Christian life while I was preaching. Maybe it's La La Land. It's deception. If somebody told you a Christian, you're a Christian for your sake and for life to go good and smooth, they're deceived. You're deceived for believing it. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. The Lord's going to deliver you out of them all. He said, in the world, you're going to have tribulation, but in me, you have peace. Why? Because he showed you the way to walk through it. He said, in the world, you're going to have tribulation. In me, you have peace. So be of good cheer, because I have overcome the world. He ain't talking about stopping tribulation. If he's talking about that, you wouldn't have it. He's talking about showing you the way to walk through it and conquer it and continue to shine and not lose your countenance and productivity. That's the rule of this world coming and having nothing in you. He says, this is so glorious. He says, you've been justified by faith. That means just as if you've never sinned by believing it through the finished work, blood speaking better things. And it's peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but peace sounds way better than contention, condemnation. Can't believe he loves me. I'm ashamed. Peace with God through Jesus. And now we have access by this same faith into God's empowerment, God's grace and ability on our behalf to make us what we're created to be. And we have this hope standing in the glory of God. And it says, not only that, in the same tone. And not only that, we glory when everything's all messed up and going against what you're hoping. Because your preferences aren't Lord. He is. You're not a Christian for smooth seas. You're a Christian to shine when everything's rough. You lay down your life. You love not your own life unto death. It's the only way to overcome. You can plead the blood till you're blue in the face and the word of your testimony, but if it's for your own self and your own sake, there is no response from heaven. He will not teach you to live there when he wants you out of there. Do you ever see the mom in the grocery store? Now, don't you be asking me for candy. I don't want you to ask me today. I am done with that. If you do what you did to me the last time. Hello, yes. I want a lollipop. I want a lollipop. Listen, I'm going to give you this lollipop, but if you ever do this to me again. You ever see that? God will never do that. He will let you scream for the rest of your life. Because he loves you way too much to leave you the same. He is not here to meet your physical needs. He's here to make you more like him. Jesus said it in Matthew 6. He said, you're worrying about this and you're worrying about that. He said, come on, the birds and the flowers ain't even got the issues you got. He says, so life, you're not supposed to worry about what you're going to eat, worry about what you're going to wear. He says, it's powerful. Isn't life more than these? So then I guess we better find purpose and what life really is. We hope in the glory of God, and not only this, we glory in tribulation. Why? Because it produces perseverance. perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts through that mighty Holy Spirit who has been given to us. For when we were still without strength in due time, can I have somebody play keys for me, whoever is willing, able, and wants to? Will you, sir? Thank you, my friend. Man, he's multi-purpose gifting, man. He led on Friday night in some of them songs, and I was blessed. He was tearing it up. He was like, and then the next night he's over there. I thought, where'd he go? I went, oh, I said to his wife, I said, he's amazing. She said, he is so amazing. Points. I got 2 points. For when we were still without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely would a righteous man, would somebody die. Yet perhaps for a good man, some would even dare or think about or consider to dare die. But God demonstrated his love toward us, that while we were still busy sinning, believing that's who we were in our lot in life, Christ died for us. Yeah. Guys, this is such good news. How could he pull that off? Because he knows what we were from the beginning. That's how Jesus says, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Why? Because Jesus was there from the beginning. Always there with the Father from the beginning. He knows why we're here. That's why he's dying. He wants to restore the truth. He's not dying because you're a sinner. He had to die because we sinned. He's dying to get the truth back in us and get our identity back and put life inside of us. The cross isn't about just forgiveness. The cross is about restoration and redemption. The cross is about making things right, setting the record straight, bringing you back to original value through a price. That's the gospel, friend. You think I believe that and I'm going to have people issues today? You think I'm going to be hurt because you didn't call me? Actually, I'm not. Don't call me. Too many calls for one guy. Sometimes we don't understand just one person. Too many calls. So I'm not going to be here. That was a terrible illustration. Family members do it to each other all the time. Oh, I can't believe you didn't call me. What did you call them? Why are you waiting? Who's ever went to a church and heard somebody leave the church and say, well, you know, how was it? Meh, I'm not sure I'm going back. It just didn't seem that loving. Nobody really noticed me. Nobody came over and greeted me. You think they'd have had people to at least say. It's like a no-win situation, because then when they do, you think it's just their job and they're assigned to say hi. So did you ever hear people say, well, you know, I went to this place and it just wasn't that loving? And I'm thinking it should have been. You were there. Somehow we got tricked into what we get out of things instead of what we offer. Why don't we follow Jesus and offer our lives? Why don't we get our eyes off of whether they're right or wrong and just give our lives? Why don't we live in righteousness, and that makes wrong things right? And it gives people an opportunity to live something different than we've seen them for. Righteousness is how he rules his kingdom. It's what we live in. We're ambassadors of God, pleading to men to be reconciled to him who did not impute their trespasses toward them. That's how we're to live. And it's amazing. Why wouldn't you want that life? Why would you want ill feelings and frustration and he said, she said, and self-consciousness and identity issues and esteem struggles? Why wouldn't you die to the rat race and die to being a rat and go ahead and live being his? Come on, man. If you're not born again, tonight would be the night. Just get born again. You just say, duh, what was I thinking? And this dude's convicting my heart. This thing's simple. I've been living for myself. I've been mad at God. That's a good sign you're selfish when you're mad at God. It's a real good giveaway when you're mad at others that you are number one. While we were yet sinners, God sat there ticked off and mad. For God was so frustrated and at wit's end with humanity, he finally pulled the ace card and sent his son. Never read those scriptures because they're not there. For God so loved you and never stopped seeing you for who you're created to be that he sent his son in the likeness of sinful flesh to fulfill what man failed, to become in appearance what man appeared to be, to hang and die on a cross as if we died on there with him. And he took the lie upon himself to get the truth back on his people. You did not pray a prayer to go to heaven. Heaven came back inside of you so you could shine as lights in the world. Yeah, that's one mighty fine gospel right there. I just got born again. Pastor Dan, you are tearing it up. You're preaching, my man. It's not my fault. No man taught me what I'm preaching. Because nobody in my personal life ever taught me the gospel this way. They just made me a forgiven sinner and left me there, but someday I'll go to heaven. Holy Spirit came into my bedroom and showed me different. That's what's wrong with me. No, it's the truth. It's good tidings of great joy. I don't know what to do with this good news, but be like this. Life has no power over me, circumstances, family members. I'm on the earth for one reason, to walk in love and walk in the light as he's in the light. It's the whole reason I'm here, and it's too late to talk me out of it. So I don't have issues. I'm not weary in ministry. I don't have pastoral struggles with leaders. I don't have people issues. I have the kingdom. And I'm living really free. So I'm either the most deceived man you ever met in your life, and I need severe deliverance, or I'm free. I guess time will tell. But in the meantime, I'm going to put all my chips on the free space and keep living my convictions. Would you up here in Edmonton follow me and go with me as I'm following him? Not follow me as I'm following him. Would you lay down all these things that have never produced life? Who's ever been blessed when they're frustrated? Who's been producing good fruit when you're sure you were done wrong and you took it to heart? Who's ever produced life when they were discouraged? They're all traits of self-centered living. Discouraged people attend church every week, and it's a sign we're letting life speak louder than truth, and we don't really understand why he came. So in all you're getting, church, get understanding, because we're destroyed for the lack of it. And yet the world taught you growing up what you don't know won't hurt you. That came from a different camp. It's a lie, which you don't know is destroying you. Paul said, don't be wise in your own opinion. You look at social media, there's a lot of that going on. James said, slow to anger, slow to speak, quick to listen. What have we been most of our lives? Ticked off, don't want to hear it, and got a whole lot to say. It's not an accident that we've lived totally opposite of what that book said, because one day what was made to love became self-centered and needed it instead of was it. And you must be born again. God never made a man to wake up and need love. He made a man for his image. God made man to love, not need it. So what do you say we die to the old so we can live to the new? What do you say we put off the old man and his deeds, Colossians 3:10, and put on the new man who's renewed in knowledge according to God's image? What do you say? What do you say, Mark? What do you say we just all be believers? People say, Dan, you're really awesome. You're this. They say a lot of nice things to me. They really do. I hear a whole lot more nice things than people say bad things. I guess the bad things, people just ain't saying them to me. But people say amazingly nice things to me, and I'm not trying to be falsely humble. Nobody has a thing unless God's given it. There is no boasting in men. All I'm going to be guilty of when I stand before him on that day is being a believer. And these signs shall follow them that believe. So I would encourage you, as a big room of people in Canada, an army of the Lord, pursue being believers. Yeah? Are you okay back there? You are doing so good, it's ridiculous. Yeah, and I know it's not his fault. Because if any man has anything, it's been given. But isn't that beautiful? Come on, let's do this. God demonstrated his own love towards us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than now having been justified by his blood, seen and judged as if you've never sinned, we shall be sozoed, saved from wrath through him. What's he saying? That mercy triumphs over judgment, that love covers a multitude of sin. 1 Corinthians 5:17, any man, any woman who is in Christ Jesus is absolutely a new creation. Old things have passed, all things are new. You go in the water baptism, death, burial, resurrection. You die in the likeness of his death once for all, right? You go under there and die to sin like he died to sin, to everything you've ever done, to everywhere you've ever been. It all dies in water baptism with him. You get buried in baptism with him. You get baptized into his death. If we were baptized into his death, surely we will raise up in the newness of life. What happens when you go under there? That person you were dies in the sight of God through the blood. What happens to you when you come up? Holy Spirit is hovering over the expanse of the water, and he takes away the chaos and brings form to what had no appearance. He takes you to the beginning. And then that mighty Holy Ghost comes, and he breathes life into you. And then he comes upon you to empower you and immerse you in the beauty of who he is, so two can become one and you can be a witness. Ain't that awesome? It's called Christianity. And I'm going to be narrow, not facetious. Nothing else is. Everything else is a version. This is why he came. Do you hear how backed it is by scripture? Do you hear how many scriptures just tied up everything that was said? There is no way out except that a man would say, I don't want that. But you can't say you can't hear it. If God demonstrated his love while we were sinners, much more now because he lives, we're going to be saved from wrath through him. I promise you, a man does not have to reap what he sowed when he repents. If it's in the natural, if it's legal stuff, he might have to go to prison. But if it's spiritual and upon his body, I'm telling you, the blood of Jesus is speaking better things. We got to do this quickly. If you hurt yourself through former conduct, if you were a Christian and you made mistakes in the process, and you did some things that you wish you wouldn't do, and you got bit in the process, if you were promiscuous, if you did drugs, if you just went out on a binge one night because you were ticked off and mad at somebody and got drunker than you've ever been or higher than you've ever been, and your concentration just hasn't been the same since, and somehow you knew you hurt yourself mentally and soulically because of that night, and you related to that night, I'm telling you, your mind can get crystal clear tonight. I'm telling you, Holy Spirit can breathe into you and bring back your memory, your concentration, and make it as if you never went out that night. Why? Because of the blood. Because if you could go back and change that night, you would, but you can't. And regret is not an option. 2 Corinthians 7, it's the world's way and produces death. Godly sorrow leads to repentance. What a vindication of yourself, it says. Are you with me? You got a STD, you got hepatitis. They said the STD is incurable. It is not incurable. It will come out of your blood because of him. Yeah. I tell some stories over and over because they're just my favorites. They're all amazing. I was in a Mennonite church. And I did one of these altar calls. And I was just fascinated that people responded in a Mennonite church. And my eyes fixed on a young man about 20 years old coming down the aisle. And I didn't highlight anybody, didn't prophesy. I wasn't there to prophesy. I was just there to believe God redeems. But if it comes on you, you ain't pushing it off. I looked and I said, son, I'm so proud of you. I can see that when you were a little boy, bam, and I see that bang, and God says, and even in your mind you thought, and God just boom, pow, and he's just froze, just crying and trembling. And all the people, because it's a family unit, Mennonite church, grew up together, breaking bread together, all related. They're all crying. Why? Because they watched him grow up and they knew what I was saying was exactly what they saw. And the fear of the Lord came in the room and they're like, this is God. I didn't know he was mutilated. I didn't know that in his young years, for some dark reason, he took a knife and mutilated his male genitals. And he carved and he cut and he sliced and he butchered. You should have heard his wife describe what he looked like. He mangled himself. She knew she was his wife. While I was prophesying over him, guess what Jesus did? I go into church the next morning. They're standing over by the wall. They can't function. I'm not kidding. They're weeping and they're trembling. And Pastor said, they're waiting to see you. Pastor didn't even know what he did to his body. She called it mutilation. She would know. She's his young wife. I went over and he can't talk. He sees me and just cries. And I said, what's going on? She said, and I had to listen. It was hard. She could barely communicate. She said he went home and got ready for bed. And when he was in the restroom, in the bathroom, he looked at himself. And there was not one mark of mutilation on his body. You see what's wrong with me? You see, oh, I don't believe that, brother. I understand there's tons of unbelief in the church. But that brings no honor to God. You'll find out one day that these things happen and are true. I hope that day soon and not then. I feel my heart breaks for people that are ripped with unbelief. Unbelief comes from self-centered foundations. You harbor hurt. You don't see prayers answered. You lose loved ones. And you let that stuff affect you instead of cling to God. You let the questions outweigh the things your heart once knew. And now you're in trouble. And it's called unbelief. and it's wicked, and it's wretched. And I'm way past debating with you, friend. I'm going to keep on trucking. I'm going to keep speaking over those boys and over those girls. Because I was in another church, and this girl comes up, and she's 34 years old. But when she was 17, she broke her little purity vow ring that she put on in youth group when she was 13. When she was 17, she was sure she was in love because they're getting married. They got a couple years to wait, but probably about 19, we're going to do this thing because I love you. Yeah, I love you. Oh, but I love you. Well, we shouldn't. Well, I know, but I feel why. And guess what happened? Genital warts start popping out on a 17-year-old. She slept with one boy that she believed was going to be her husband. And genital warts started popping out on her body. Their relationship disintegrated. They never did get married. Three specialists, because they kept sending her, because they were mesmerized by it, never saw anything like it. She was grossly covered with genital warts in her vaginal area for 17 years without one day of relief. They didn't come and go. Perfuse. She said gross perfuse. So guess what she did at age 17? She decided she wasn't going to ever step into a relationship, even though she wanted a husband, she wanted to be a mother. But she said, I brought this upon myself. I'll carry this cross. I don't want to bring a man into something so gross and expect him to understand and have to jump this hurdle. I'll just let Jesus be my husband. 17 years later, I happened to be in her church. And God put this message on my heart. And I preached it with passion. People came up everywhere and were crying and receiving God's love. And we just touched and prayed and moved fast. And I never talked to her. I never prophesied. I just prayed and we got through the people. Because it's Jesus. It's not men. It's truth. You preach it, it comes in the room. And truth has a name. She went home that night, sobbing. She gets to the threshold of the door of her apartment. She sticks the key in the door, and the Holy Spirit hovers over her and says, don't you be afraid to look at what I've done to your body. She ran into the bathroom. She inspected her body. Not one single genital wart on her body. Sobbing and crying on her bed, she falls asleep, wee hours of the night, sobbing. She finally falls asleep at daybreak. Oh, she wakes up and thinks, surely this is a dream. 17 years, not one relationship the whole time with a man. She wakes up and says, surely it's a dream. She inspects her body, not one single wart. She comes to service. I'm not kidding. She's shook. She pulls me and pastor and his wife in the office and tells us the whole story. And we're all sobbing. We're all marking. We're all just pulling a mark. He'll mess you up. She told us the story. TJ, it was so beautiful. At the end, she looked and said, so who knows? Maybe God will let me have a husband and I could be a mother still. And I said, I bet he would. I bet he would, girl. If you've hurt your body, if you're carrying something from your past, there's only one thing that qualifies you today, and it's not works, it's heart. If you say in your heart, knowing what I know now, if I could go back and do it over, surely I would. That tells me I ain't talking to the person that did that thing we're remembering. You've become changed, and you've become new. And if I'm reading my Bible clear, which I believe I am, when that takes place, God will never judge you for where you've been. God himself will judge you for what you've become. So if God won't judge you for where you've been, why is where you've been judging you when he is greater? If you hurt an organ, if you hurt your kidneys, your liver, through alcohol, through drugs, if you hurt your mind, if you got something in your blood, that's because of former conduct. One thing, if I could change it, I would. If I could do different, I'd jump on that chance. But I can't. And God, I believe you love me, and I believe you forgive me, and your redemption is greater than my sin. Yeah. You get up here right now if that's you. Don't you stay in your seat. I need you up here right now. Get up here right now. Come on. Don't be ashamed. Everybody has sinned. Everybody has fallen short of the glory of God. There's people that have done the same things you did and didn't get marked. There's no mercy out there. It's not fair, but there's mercy in God. You get up here and don't hesitate. Line up as best you can. Fill up the aisles, but don't stay in your chair if I'm talking to you. Now is the time to get up, because now is the day, and now is the time for salvation. Guilt and condemnation and shame, over for good. Everybody up here, you begin to thank God that he loves you. And you tell God that if you could go back and do some things different, kiddo, you would. True? Then we ain't even talking or looking at the girl we're remembering. Come on. It's good. They're good tears. Don't you be ashamed of them. I see them. They're good tears. They're the tears that bring redemption. Godly sorrow leads to repentance. Whew. No, it's good. You look right at me. Don't you be ashamed of nothing. I'm so proud of you that you came up here. You're so young. What a time to receive righteousness. What a time to receive restoration. What a time to be loved by God. Yeah, he's doing it, I'm telling you. He's changing things for you. And he's gonna make it like you've never been where you've been or done what you've done. Oh, I singled you out of a whole crowd. You know why? Because God has had his eye on you. And there's things you've believed that aren't true. And there's some stuff you've struggled with and you've even wondered about him. But he just stopped me in my tracks and pointed you out of this whole crowd to show you that it ain't true. That his eye has been on you the whole time and that he loves you. You see that? He's coming on you. He's going to make things right. You keep your eyes on him because he has always had his eyes on you. You ain't lacking nothing. You ain't missing nothing. You ain't no more trying to fit in either. He makes you fit in right where you belong. These words make sense to your heart because I know when I see clear because he's my father. And he's your father too. Bless her, Holy Ghost, and make her clean. Break every lie. That's good. That's his love. Receive it. That's the love of King Jesus. Holy. Yeah, he's breaking every lie. The season of darkness, I'm telling you, it's over. You're never going back there. Those lies that have ravaged your mind, those things that you couldn't get out of your head, I'm telling you, he's making things new. And the way you saw him wrongly, simply tonight, he just straightened that out and made it right. He loves you. And he's proven it. Receive his love right now. Just receive his love. Be redeemed in Jesus' name. Do we have everybody? Come on, I just got it. I just got like, I just felt the love of God. Okay, now you be straight with me. Don't play with me. I just heard seven people need to get up and get up here real quick. I'm waiting for seven people. Don't you play. God loves you. I got so many people to pray for. Why would I wait for seven? Because God said he doesn't want you in your chair and he wants to wash you clean. Why would you miss your moment? I need my seven. I got them. Come on. See, that just hit me. I just froze. God said, we ain't ready. I ain't ready. We're missing kids. We're missing some kids. See, if you ain't on the picture, something's missing. If you ain't there, something ain't right. This thing is real. I've watched it my whole Christian life. He's making it right. I'm so proud of you people. You see all these tears you're feeling? Let them be tears of hope and tears and sighs of joy that God is good and you're not damned and he's making things right and he's judging you as if you've never sinned. Believe it with me. Say this before I pray. Say, Father, thank you for loving me. Thank you, you aren't judging me for where I've been. You're judging me for what I've become. I believe you're doing a work in me. I have a different heart than I used to. You have brought change to me. And I thank you tonight for taking yesterday totally away. Spirit, soul, and body till the coming of your Son. Sanctified and set apart and redeemed because you love me. Come on, say it. Because you love me. Lift your hands to heaven with me, would you? Holy Spirit, thank you for coming. I can't touch everybody. I don't need to. He will. You don't have to feel anything. You believe it. Some of you are already healed. I guarantee it. God, the whole mass of people, everyone that had faith to respond, right now, redeemed and healed. Clean blood, clean organs, clean mind, clean conscience. No more torment. No more horrific dreams. No more dysfunction in the body. No more contamination in the blood. Righteous judgment upon your people, God, as if sin never happened, as if sin never was. Let the blood of Jesus speak better things and make your people whole. Holy Spirit, come. Now, this is going to be sweet because I just saw it. The love of God, the comforting love of God. I'm telling you, the acceptance of the Lord is coming upon you. Come, Lord. Yeah. And just love your children. And wash over them with your accepting love. Come, Holy Spirit, come and love your kids. Love them. Yeah, breathe on your people. The love and acceptance of God, mark them for all time. Let them never believe anything else. Let them never again follow a lie. Let them walk out of here sanctified all the days of their life. Holy, holy, holy is the Lamb. And he said, you be holy, for I am holy. Holy Spirit, thank you. Father God, thank you. Jesus, you're amazing. Whisper in your heart, thank him for loving you, please. Just whisper in your heart, thank you for loving me, Father. Thank you for washing me. Thank you for cleansing me. Thank you for putting this thing behind me and calling it dead. I call it dead too. I'm never looking back. I'm never looking back. I won't be like Lot's wife. I'm your bride. I'm looking up from whence came my help. I'm going to live in righteousness apart from yesterday. Today, you have done a new thing. And you've done it in me. I receive your love in Jesus' name. Oh, I'm proud of you. Jesus' name. Yeah, yeah. That's his love. That's his acceptance. Always receive it, son. Always receive it. God is so good. Yeah. It's going to be all right. I love you people. Thank you for being humble and coming up here. I want you to, in this atmosphere and holy atmosphere of worship and thanksgiving, just try to make your way back as discreetly, as quietly, as easily as you can. There's something else we got to do, and I know it's late, but if you can hang in there, people, just hang in there. I'll do this as quick as we can. Thank you for coming up here. Thank you for coming up here. In Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, come. Total freedom in her life, God. I thank you for clearing her conscience. I thank you for opening up her heart, her mind, causing her to see. I thank you, you remove the things that seem clouded. I thank you, the phrase, I can't get it, it doesn't happen for me. I thank you, the phrase, I can't get it, is erased tonight. I thank you that her heart is open wide. God, I see eyes that see. I see a heart that understands. I see someone so precious to you. So precious to you. I'm not trying to embarrass you, but I have my hands on you, and I see you struggle with your own personal value. You've went to lengths to feel good about some things and find appreciation in certain ways and acceptance, and none of that's worked and panned out well. And God's saying, my, I appreciate you. I made you special. That thing you're looking for, it's like a pipe dream. There's no answer there. Don't hurt yourself on that road. I called you to be with me. I'm going to love you. I'm going to strengthen you. I'm going to make myself known to you. Stop searching. Say your search is over. And let your heart settle on me. Because I will never fail you. I will love you. I will make myself known to your understanding. I thank you for total freedom in her life. I thank you, you erase. There's like a 5-year span in your life that I see him erasing. Erasing. Yeah. I see it being erased. Yes. Yeah, it's too late. It's being erased. There's a 5-year span you won't even look back on. It won't have any effect on you. A psychologist will shake his head and say, I don't know how this can be. And you'll say, his name is Jesus, and he's the living God, and he was and is to come. And he loves me, and he's inside of me. I'm not longing anymore. I'm not searching anymore. I'm not wandering anymore. I was lost, and he found me. I was crying out, and I didn't even know who to, and he heard my cry. And he came and delivered me. And he erased a span that was in my yesterday. And he placed my feet solid in today. And I have a destiny. And my life will go on and flourish. Because he's going to teach me how to value it. And how to make the most of the day. Yeah. In the book of John 20, I'm going to do this fast. You write scriptures if you need to. I'll quote them and I'll tell you where they're at. In John 20, the end of the chapter, verse 20, I believe, right around verse 20. It's right there. It's the end of the chapter. He said, it says, it's verse 22. When Jesus showed up in the upper room, or not in the upper room, in the room they were assembled after he raised from the dead. You with me? He rose from the dead in John 20. Mary was there. He thought there was the gardener and thought somebody stole Jesus. You guys with me? Jesus showed up that evening, that same day in the evening, in the room where they were assembled for fear, not praying, for fear. Of the Jews, afraid that what they just saw happen to Jesus was about to happen to them. We'd have been there too. We'd have been afraid. We're not judging them. They were lost. They were under the fear of the bondage of death. They were confused. He was the best thing that ever happened, and they watched him die. He said he would raise again, but they were so under the dominion of death that what he said was overpowered by what they saw. And on that day, they were afraid. He walked in the room and he said, peace be unto you. He didn't say, hey, you bunch of knuckleheads, you're getting it all wrong. He told Mary to go tell his brethren, not his low-life, two-faced, running, chicken-hearted, backstabbing. You go tell my boys, my brethren, covenant term. What's he saying? I haven't changed my mind about them. He raised from the dead. He is not offended. He is love. And he came right to those boys. And he showed them his hands and his side, and they were glad it was the Lord. And then he said, as the Father sent me, so I send you. And then he did something fascinating. He breathed on them. Why did he breathe on them? He said, receive the Holy Spirit. Why didn't he just line them up and get charismatic and, Philip, can you catch? Phil. Why didn't he say, be filled with the Holy Spirit, since he holds all things together by the word of his power? Why did he breathe on them and say, be filled with the Holy Spirit? Because he's the Redeemer. He's taking them back to day one, because his blood's on the mercy seat of sin never happened. How did God make man? What was lost when man sinned? What did he restore? That's how powerful the blood of Jesus is. As if sin never happened. People make a huge mistake and they say, did you ever receive the Holy Spirit? Did you ever get baptized in the Holy Spirit? They say, well, I received the Holy Spirit when I got saved. You receive the Spirit of God when you get saved. No. You receive a recreated, reborn spirit where life comes into you, because a minute ago you were dead. You become wheat and not a tare. You're a keeper fish and not a throwback. You're sealed for that day of redemption. The life of God comes back inside of you when you get born again. He said, receive Holy Spirit. It's not the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's their born again experience. How do you know that, Dan? Because in Luke 24, he said, tarry in the city till the promise of the Father comes upon you and you'll be endued with power. In Acts 1, Luke gives a little more explanation and says he's talking about Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit's coming. Not many days from now, you'll be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Well, I thought we already received the Holy Spirit. No, in John 20, you got born again and life came inside of you. But in Acts 2, you're going to get endued with power to be a witness. In John 4, he met a woman at the well. He said, if you knew who I was, you'd ask me for a drink, and I'd give you a drink, and you would never thirst again. That drink is living water. And that drink would be a fountain in you, springing up into everlasting life. What's the drink he's talking about? Your fulfilled identity through your born-again experience, finding yourself and your life in him, your name written in the book of life, and a well springing up into everlasting. He's talking about you getting born again in John 4. A well springing up into everlasting life. John 7. If you believe in me, as the scriptures say, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. Does out of your belly flowing rivers of living water sound different than a well springing up into everlasting life? The next verse, this he spake of the Spirit who had not yet been given, because he had not yet been glorified. John 20 is a well springing up. Luke 24 is a river pouring out. Baptism of the Holy Spirit. Are you with me? Look in Acts 8 with me. You got to look in Acts 8. It's absolutely amazing. If you want to put it on the board, it would be helpful for the people. You can put it on the board. Acts 8:14, because you guys are incredible. It'll be up there in a moment. Look at that. These guys are ridiculous. Who are you? Where are you? Where? Who? Yes. Hey, thank you. Give them like some kind of appreciation. They're amazing. Oh! They're like 15 probably, right? They're like just techie like crazy with this stuff. Just like putting on socks. It's like, I'd be like, ah. Oh my goodness, when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. Why? Who, when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive Holy Spirit. Wait a minute, I thought you receive Holy Spirit when you get born again. If that's true, why'd they have to go that they might receive him? Why did it have anything to do with John and Peter? For as yet, he had fallen upon none of them. They had only, not the baptism in Jesus' name in water isn't important, but there's more. The only just means they didn't get it all. They had only been baptized in water in the name of the Lord Jesus. He hadn't fallen upon any of them. And when they laid hands on them, people say, well, you get the Holy Spirit when you get born again. No, you get a reborn spirit. Holy Spirit is an endowment with power. They tarried in the city. He came upon them. They were endued to be a witness. The word baptized means to be immersed and dipped into. You take a white paint can, you kick off the ends, and you run a stick through the white paint can. When you bring the stick out the other end, let's just say the stick is you and me and the paint is Jesus. And we run the stick through the white paint can. We bring the stick out of the other side of the paint can, and you can't even see the stick. All you see is what it was baptized into, but the stick is still there. That's baptism in the Holy Spirit. The stick and the paint become one. You get dipped into and immersed into the paint. And two become one. It's baptism. When they laid hands on them, they received Holy Spirit. That's okay. We don't need that one. Thank you. That's a whole nother story about Simon. In 38, Peter starts preaching, in 38 is when he said how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. Down in 44, Acts 10, 44, while Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word, and those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, because as many as came with Peter, because the gift of Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles as well. For they heard them speaking with tongues and magnifying God. And look what Peter, he's so sharp. Look what Peter said. He said, can anyone forbid these guys water? That these should not be baptized who have received Holy Spirit just as we have? In Samaria, they got baptized in water. Holy Spirit hadn't come yet. Peter and John must have thought it was pretty important because they didn't have buses, taxis, cars, motorcycles. They went 35 to 50 miles. 35 to 50 miles. So they could lay hands on them so Holy Spirit would come upon them. It must be important. No wonder we fight over this stuff today. It's amazing how we fight over everything that's so important. Peter and John walked 35 to 50 miles to be sure he came. Cornelius' household, he just came. And Peter said, he came. Let's get him in the water. I got saved on a Sunday night. Monday morning, I woke up in bed crying, aware of the presence of God, praying in tongues profusely. I'm too late to debate with you. You're too late to debate with me. Weeks later, I was in water and it hit me. Baptism. It wasn't even weeks. It was shortly after. I didn't know if it was legal, but I baptized myself. It was so intimate and so ridiculous. It was so personal. It was so holy. I was in the water and I said, I'm a brand new man. I'm changed forever. My life will never be the same. You filled me with the Holy Spirit. I'm praying in tongues. I want to be baptized in your name. When I go under, I thank you. Everything I've ever been and done, everything ever done to me is dead. I'm never looking back. And when I come up, you'll receive me. Holy Spirit, I believe you'll present me to Papa Luke, a brand new baby boy. Thanks for saving me. I give my life to you. Thank you for the blood. And I slipped myself under the water. And when I came up, it was amazing. It was amazing. How he just showed me to Father. And I just knew I was new. Look at Acts 19. Absolutely amazing. First verse. We'll just jump in the first verse. And it happened while Apollos was at Corinth, and Paul, having been passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus, and finding some disciples, he said to them, "Man, it's an awesome day, isn't it? We're getting a lot more sun than we're used to having this time of year. Hey, where are you guys heading? Can I hang out?" No, Paul, looking at their attire, seeing their dress code, knew they were a part of some sect belief. He knew they were disciples. They were followers of something. And he was believing they were Christian. And he said, hey, watch what he said. Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? He's talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. John said, surely I baptize you with water, but there's one coming. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. We say over and over again, you get the Holy Spirit when you get saved. If that's true, why is Apostle Paul asking that question? If it's true, why did Peter and John go 50 miles? If it's true, why does Luke 11:13 say, if you, being of evil nature, know how to get good gifts to your children, how much more the Father will give the Holy Spirit to them who ask? If he's automatic, why do you have to ask? If he's automatic, why is that question being asked? If he's automatic, why does Peter and John have to go on a journey? I'll tell you what's happened in today's Christian society. There's so much cross-teaching. There's so much fear implemented. There's so much talk of false teaching, false prophet. That's the devil, wolf in sheep's clothing. And we have done great injustice to people. People don't even know whether they're coming or going. New believers have red flags all over the place. There's a twisted movement of grace out there that says, just go ahead and do whatever. God's grace is sufficient. We're always going to mess up. So, hey, he loves you anyway. It's a perverted movement of grace. So men of notability try to address it. And then they talk about grace movement, perversion of grace, and they give everything a name. Then a new believer hears a sincere preacher talking about the beauty of grace, and a red flag goes up because of the warning they heard. The gospel's always been about grace. You're saved by grace. We beheld him grace for grace and in grace and in truth. And you are what you are by the grace of God. You're saved by grace through faith. You can't get away from grace. And just because somebody perverted it, we don't have to attack and put red flags. We're in this pendulum syndrome. And this loose camp is way over here. So this other camp tries to tighten. Swoosh. And then this camp reacts. Swoosh. And this camp reacts. Swoosh. And Jesus is right here. There's so much fear-based stuff in the body of Christ. It needs to stop. Let's just get back to the Word. I'm putting it right up. They're putting it right up here. But we're reading it. It's not my notes. Hey, I was right. Luke 11:13. I read the book. If you, being of evil nature, know how to give gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give Holy Spirit to them who ask? If he's automatic, we wouldn't have to ask. He's not talking about your recreated spirit. He's talking about the endowment with power. He's talking about a person, and he's holy, and he's spirit. He's your friend. He's not an it. He's not a breeze. He's not a goosebump. He's God, the Holy Spirit. He's your helper. He reveals Jesus to your heart. He shows you things to come. He always does what glorifies the King. He is your friend. He empowers you. He teaches you. He's Holy Spirit. Whew. He's not a doctrine. He's not an experience. He's not a tremor. He's a friend. And he's holy. And he's spirit. And he's been living in me for a long time. It's what's wrong with me. He teaches me how to never be ho-hum. He teaches me how to not be discouraged. He teaches me how to not live offended. He teaches me how to shine. He empowers me to be a witness. He teaches me how to not take wrongs personal. He teaches me how to see you clearly. I ask him questions and he teaches me. He's holy and he's spirit. And he's here tonight and he wants to come upon you if you've never received him. People get so messed up because camps and people have done so many things. They get to try to get people to try to make them pray in tongues. They say, well, if you didn't pray in tongues, you didn't get the baptism of the Holy Spirit. What's that say? Will the Father give the Holy Spirit if you ask? Do you have 100% guarantee that he comes if you ask? And then we say, misinformed people try to buy you into an experience instead of a belief. Other tongues is the only outward manifestation listed in the Bible for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So it's extremely scriptural, but it's not the barometer. You receive him like you receive salvation. You receive him by faith. Other tongues is a gift. Corinthians 14 says, if I pray in another tongue, who? If I pray. He doesn't control your mouth. He doesn't make you a robot. He doesn't. It says, if I pray in another tongue, it's the Spirit praying within me. He gives me the utterance. I pray the words. You can turn him on and off in that way. Paul said, I sing in the Spirit. I sing with my understanding. I sing in the Spirit. I pray with my understanding. I walk in my bedroom. Father, I just worship you and magnify. And I glorify your name. Shiana Masia. Kiandia sono Mashea. Sena Mahase. For you are high and you are holy. Shona Manandesia. Shiendia Nemea. You're my king. You're full of glory. You live inside me. You're my story. You say, I don't know what you're saying. Neither do I. But it's not for you. It's for him. And it edifies me. And it ties me to him. It's not for you. It's not for you. You don't have to understand. Let go of critical spirits. Get out of your own head and start living from your heart. Stop judging what you don't understand. It's so beautiful. You don't want to live without him. I'm sorry, I'm not mad at you. There's just so many critical spirits floating around and people grab onto them. Well, what's he saying? Well, he ain't even supposed to be doing that. I don't know what he said. It's not for you. If I pray in another tongue, I speak mysteries unto God and edify myself. It's not for you. Now, if we're in a service and the service is flowing and somebody starts shouting out real loud in tongues, Paul says, hey, if you're going to do that, let one interpret. Because it's unprofitable to the hearers. I'd rather speak five words with understanding than 1,000 in other tongues if there's no interpretation. But you put me in my car. Who saw Landon? It's Landon, right? Who saw Landon get that mic early? Start walking and pacing with confidence because he knows God. I watched that boy worship all weekend. He knows the Lord. He ain't trying to minister. He knows the Lord. He's walking, praying, and he gets overwhelmed. There's a synergism. He's a young man. He's got this mic, and God's here, and all of a sudden, he just... Did you see him? Did you hear him? He's praying in the Spirit. He wasn't
and the shame. He's a young man. He ain't thinking, I hope nobody's judging me. I wonder if there's anybody thinking. He's just with Jesus, man. He's like 13 or whatever he is, and he knows the Lord. And he's just walking, and he's trembling, and he's excited. And some of you wish you lived that way. Why don't you let go? And why don't you let him in and have his way? Proud of you, boy. You're going to go a long way in the Holy Ghost. You and that guy right beside you. I'm not mad at you. Don't you get some critical thing going. Don't you get so theological that you miss the heart of God. If I pray in another tongue, my spirit prayeth. There's several places in the Bible, Acts 2, Acts 10, where Holy Spirit just came. There's several places in the Bible where men that were filled with the Holy Spirit laid hands on people, and he came. Tonight he'll do both, I promise. If we ask, he's coming. Did you read it? You don't have to pray in tongues to believe you're baptized in the Holy Spirit. You just have to ask by faith. Will you pray in tongues? Can you pray in tongues? You're going to pray in tongues. It's a gift. He'll come. We'll believe for that. I'm believing for that. I feel good saying that. I prayed for people. They just praying in tongues. I prayed for some. They didn't pray in tongues right away. But they just kept talking to him and thanking him. And sometimes they'd get alone and they'd be singing because they were taught. It's not for today. They were taught, well, how do you know you ain't just making it up? Well, you're just speaking rubbish. Or they got in a service where somebody said, pray yabba dabba doo backwards 3 times and you'll have it. We ain't making nobody pray nothing. It comes in here. I've seen people hold it back till they were ready to blow up their language. And I'd look at them and laugh and say, you better let it out. You're going to pop. I've had co-workers that were taught against what I'm preaching their whole lives, but they saw my life and got convicted by my life. And they said, what's different about you? I said, probably Holy Spirit. He's my friend. Is he yours? Has he baptized you and endued you with power? Well, I was told that I got the Holy Spirit when I got saved. Well, then maybe you ought to look at these scriptures. And they go, See, some people don't read for themselves. They just listen. I had several co-workers leave work, ask God in their car, if this is for me, let me have him. I'm not afraid to ask you. If I ask you, you're not going to give me a stone, a fish. Would you baptize me in your spirit if this is for today? And they did not make it home without pulling off the car, weeping in the reality of the Holy Spirit, and they prayed in tongues on the shoulder of the road. Fun. If you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit, we want to pray for you. All we're going to do is get you up here and we're going to ask him to come. And you're going to ask Father to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. And we're going to say, Holy Spirit, come and empower your people. Let's take the land, God. Let's battle for Canada. Would you come and empower us to be a witness? And I'm telling you, he will come. Many of you will just know he's upon you. You'll just begin to weep and pray in tongues. Some of you, you just thank him. He's here and you receive him because 100% if you ask, he's coming. Are you with me? And then I'll probably have some Summit folks and my Alabama family and my Florida family and my vegetable. My kale. That's how I remembered his name, see? He told me to. He's not offended. He knows Jesus. He said, just remember, I'm in the vegetable family. That's how I remembered your name. I saw you on a platter. And you Summit folks that are baptized in the Holy Spirit, I'll just have you come gently behind the people or in front of people and just lay hands on them gently. But we're going to let Holy Spirit just come and move on the people. It's going to be the most beautiful thing. Holy Spirit is here, and he wants to empower you to be a witness. It's not a freaky thing. It's so scriptural. It's amazing. They all spake with other tongues. Paul laid hands on them, and they spoke with tongues and began to prophesy. It's so scriptural. If you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit and you want to be endued with power and receive Him, please come to the front and line up. If you've been taught against it, just come up and say, God, I want what's real. I want what you want for me. I want what you paid for me. Don't come up in rebellion. Don't come up angry. Say, Lord, I've been believing other things. This man is freaking me out with passion tonight. I want holy. Do you see all these people? Do you see why we're teaching this? Oh, come on, people, get up here. No, yeah, yeah, yeah. Stuff up here. Slide over as far as you can. Come out the aisles, down the sides. Just get up as many as you can. Come in the aisles. Can the worship team come up? Can you girls just start to sing soft and welcome Holy Spirit? Just this Holy Spirit welcome song. Yeah? Yeah, whatever song. Just ask them. We're going to invite Him. This isn't hype. We're not trying to create atmosphere. This is a holy moment for us. Listen to me, guys. This is amazing. Peter and John heard Samaria had received the Lord, and they got on a donkey, a horse, or they walked 35 to 50 miles to make sure they received what we're here for right now. You just had to walk an aisle. I'm already here. This is easy. Come on, I want everybody we need that's never been baptized in the Holy Spirit. You've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit. Please don't stay in your chair. Join us. Be family. Don't say, I'll just wait and pray on my own. Just join us. Be family. Make sure you come. Come on. The reason I'm saying it, because I know I'm waiting for a couple more. Thank you, dear. See, God's good, man. He doesn't want me to start. He knows. He knows. I'm not just trying to get a big response. Are you kidding me? We've got way many people to pray. You people that are baptized in the Holy Spirit, I'm assuming the people sitting out there are baptized in the Holy Spirit. So why don't you all stand up with us? Invite Him to come. Just sing to Holy Spirit. Ask Him to come. Yeah? Just prepare your heart and tell God you want Him right now in the person of Holy Spirit. Just tell Him. The people that are standing, they're baptized in Holy Spirit. Just thank Him for touching our brothers and sisters in a very powerful way. We're going to pray in a second and ask Him to come. Position your hearts, everybody that responded. Just talk to Him. Close your eyes. Don't be distracted. Don't wait for a feeling. Just start to talk to God and tell Him you want Him, the person of Holy Spirit. Tell Him you want to be endued with power. Tell Him you want to understand mysteries. You want your life to glorify Jesus. Come on, tell Him. Tell Him you are ready to be baptized with Holy Spirit and fire.
Come, Holy Spirit.
Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Okay, guys, just lift your hands to heaven. We're going to ask Him to come. Say, Father, baptize me. Immerse me into the person of Holy Spirit. Tonight, empower me to be a witness. Empower my life and let me be changed for your glory forevermore. If you paid for this, then I want this. I'm receiving a person. He's holy and He's Spirit. Say this with me. Holy Spirit, come, baptize me right now with your Spirit and your fire, and release that language of other tongues. I'm not afraid. I want you tonight. Holy Spirit, I ask you to come. Guys, begin to just lay hands on some people and just ask Holy Spirit. The people that are baptized in the Holy Spirit out there, just slide over and touch a few people. Just lay hands on some folks. Holy Spirit, come. Baptized in the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit and fire. Yep. People out there that have the gift of tongues, pray in the Spirit. Be filled. Be filled in Jesus' name. Be baptized in the Holy Spirit.
Come on, bro. Whatever it sounds like. okay? I just want everybody to begin to thank Holy Spirit that he's here. Just believe right now and say, thank you for coming. Thank you for coming upon me. Thank you for empowering me. Listen, I'm not going to take surveys right now. I heard a lot of people praying in tongues. I see a lot of things happening, but here's the deal. We ask, he's here. My pastor, my first pastor in my life, his wife was taught so many things that when she got in a service like this, she was so in a place where she just wanted to believe she was going to receive him according to scripture. She wasn't even really thinking about other tongues because she just didn't know. 3 months, my pastor's wife, for 3 months, every day, communed with him and talked to him. Holy Spirit, I appreciate you in my life. Holy Spirit, I thank you for loving me. Thank you for showing me truth. She'd open her Bible. Holy Spirit, thank you for revealing to my heart. Hey, what's God mean when he says this? Would you help me? She just communed with him. He's her friend, her new friend. For 3 months, she's never prayed in tongues. She hasn't even thought about it. She turned that off. She just said, I'm receiving him. 3 months in, her husband's out of town. Strong personality, never saw him cry. He's out of town. Young wife, he calls. He breaks down and cries. He's in the middle of a thing. She can't help him. She's far away. He had to cut the conversation and hang up because of whatever it was. But he hung up crying. Her young heart ripped for her husband. She's pacing the floor. God, she had no idea. She was overwhelmed. She didn't even know how to put in words. She realized about 7, 8, 10 minutes in, she was walking the floor praying for profusely in other tongues because she knew not what to pray. She was overwhelmed, and God began to intervene and speak through her heart for her husband because of love. And then the soulical thing, that bondage of her mind from all the cross teaching and the bad things she saw and was a part of, and people trying to get people to say stuff, she just shut it all off. And in a moment of crisis, when she didn't know what to do and her heart was overwhelmed, she found herself praying. Here's my point. He was there the whole time. He was there the whole time. The language was there the whole time. So you just receive right now and come on, lift your hands and say, Father, thank you for empowering me today. I'm going to walk in love. I'm going to do exploits. I'm going to be a witness. Holy Spirit, I welcome you. Thank you for your friendship. Thank you for loving me, helping me, empowering me. Thank you for instructing me. My eyes are fixed on you. You're going to walk me through. My life's going to matter, and my life's going to make a difference. Amen? Thank him for it. Yeah! I take over. I think I'm done. Oh, let me say something quick. Listen, guys, you guys know I love you, right? You know I came back here twice, right? Now listen, don't hear this wrong. I'm not trying to put a sour thing on the very end. There's a gathering after here at the host home where I'm staying. It's my last night. I'm shooting out first thing in the morning. There's a handful of leaders and a bunch of folks coming that I've gotten to meet, and there's some people they're showing up there. I know people like to say hi and thanks and stuff, and I've made myself pretty available. But tonight I'm going to ask you, if you let me just kind of make my way out as I say my goodbyes without a lot of questions or things or time. I just want to, it's late. I got to get up really early to get to the airport. So I just like to go back and close out my weekend with this household. They're home making, setting out food, and they're amazing. They've been working all afternoon just to set up the house for this little moment we're going to have. So if you guys could understand and just release me to that moment to wrap up my weekend, I would appreciate it. Okay? But listen, not trying to get mushy-gushy, but I feel it. I love you guys. I love people. I love Jesus. That's why I love you. You're made for his image. You got every reason to run this race. The only person that can stop you now is you not believing the truth, believing some kind of lie. So why don't you wake up and shine every day? Why don't you wake up and talk to him every day? Why don't we go ahead and all these things about Battle for Canada and revival, why don't we let them not just be dreams, but why don't we watch them come to pass in our day? Why don't we be the revival? Amen? So I love you. Stay fired up. And let's go after this thing called Jesus. Amen? Amen. Love you.
Hang on. Aren't you thankful for Dan? Thankful for the God in him. We love you. We love you. Thank you so much for all you released.